I'm glad he died for you and me, but I'm glad he arose for you and me too. We serve a living Savior this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. How many of you enjoy going and getting a dental exam or a physical exam? How many of you wake up that morning and say, wow, I can't wait for that to take place? I want somebody to stick some cold instrument down my throat. I want somebody to put on a cold stethoscope, put on a white coat and walk into a sterile room and have them stick it on my chest. Anybody enjoy that? How many of you enjoy going and getting your eyes examined? How many of you enjoy having to go and see somebody that may reveal to you something that you don't like? See, we don't like that. Matter of fact, some people go into such conniption fits that they don't do it because they're afraid of what's going to be revealed. Oh, they know there's something wrong. They've had this lump for ages. Or they've had this pain for a long time. Or whatever the case may be, but they don't want to go to the doctor, or they don't want to go to the dentist, or they don't want to go to the eye place, because they're afraid that if they go, then it's going to be revealed what's really there. And so therefore, they think in their minds, if I don't go, then I'll have to deal with it. And if I don't have to deal with it, it really doesn't exist. 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine went to the doctor, and it was told that he has stage 4 prostate cancer. He had been dealing with issues for a long while, but he didn't go to the doctor because he did not want it to be revealed. He says, if I don't go to the doctor, then he can't tell me I'm sick. Now he's got stage 4 prostate cancer. Why is it that we do that? Why is it that we like to hide ourselves from the problem and ignoring it, hoping it's going to go away? Where has that gotten us? Not very far. The problem is, when we're finally ready to acknowledge it, it's almost too late. Now, I'm hoping that the treatments and things that the doctors are going to do are going to help him live. But if you know anything about prostate cancer, the outlook may not be good. Brothers and sisters, we as a country need a divine examination. How many of you agree this country needs a divine examination? We as a church need a divine examination. We as individuals need a divine examination. Now, a divine examination doesn't necessarily mean bad. It does not necessarily mean that you're a bad person, that you've had a bad month, a bad year, that God hates you. Exactly. That's not what it exactly means a lot of times. See, we don't want to go to the doctor because we're afraid of what the doctor's going to tell us. But it's amazing that when we do go to the doctor or the dentist or the eye exam or whatever, that sometimes the doctor says, hey, you're fine. You're healthy as a horse. You may look like a horse, Danny, but you're healthy as a horse. Sometimes the news is good. It's not always bad. How many of you ever walked out of the doctor's office and the doctor said, hey, everything's good? Yeah. So a divine examination is not always bad. See, we naturally think it's going to be bad news. Not necessarily. But you know what else an examination can do? It can also find some things that you didn't know about that you can deal with now, and everything could be okay.
a divine examination. So this morning, I want us, including myself, if I've all week long, I want us to allow God to do a divine examination of us. This is not for your spouse. This is not for your sister or your brother. This is not for your neighbor. This is not for your coworker. This is for you. This is for me, what God's word says. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Now, at the beginning of Psalm 139, the psalmist, who is David, he already goes over what God has done in the past. Look at Psalm 139, verses 1. We'll start there. O Lord, you have searched me and you known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You compassed my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain, I cannot understand. He says, God, you know me inside and out. You know my thoughts, you know my words, you know my walk. But he doesn't say, and so therefore, God, you hate me. Look what he says. He says, it is too wonderful for me. I can't understand it. You know what? God knows you and me inside out. He knows the very being. He knows your thoughts and your worries. He knows your deeds. He knows what you do and what you don't do, what you think, what you don't think. He knows everything about you. My wife wants to know me like that, but I don't share with her like I have, and I need to. I'm admitting it publicly. How many of you wives wish your husband would do that for you? Oh my goodness. All right, gentlemen, you're off the hook. You don't have to say nothing to your wives. Okay, all right. Ask it again. How many of you wives wish your husbands would share intimate details like that with you? A few of you brave ones, okay? Long ride home today. Your wives may not know you, your family may not know you, your children may not know you, but God does. And that's not a bad thing. When I'm scared and nobody knows, God does. When I am sad, He knows. When I'm happy, He knows. When I'm regretful, He knows. He knows everything. He knows my body, the atoms that make my body up. He knows them. Because guess what? He created them. These first six verses are the omniscience of God. He knows everything. He hears the very whisper in the halls of Congress. He knows the very thoughts of our leaders in the government. He knows where you're scared. He knows where you're happy. He knows where you're full. He knows and He cares. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you would be honest to admit to yourselves that you feel like a failure sometimes? Do you feel like there's nobody, nobody that can dig you out of where you are because you've done messed up? May I tell you that God sees your failure and He tells you, I love you. David says, God, you've searched me and you've known me. You know everything about me. Whew. When I don't even know myself, God knows me. And then he says in verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? That's a rhetorical question, of course. If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, that means the depths of the earth, behold, thou art there. The word for hell is Sheol. It's not the place of eternal punishment, but it's the place of the deepest part. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In other words, there's nowhere we can go God doesn't already know about it. The things we do in the dark, God sees. Good and bad. The things we do that nobody else sees, God knows. Good and bad. The phone calls, the meals, the things you do for other people, God sees. Nobody else may know, but God sees. Where can you go that God isn't there? Nowhere. Brothers and sisters, that's the omnipresence of God. By the way, we have a spiritual enemy who wants to convince you that he is everywhere. He's not everywhere. Satan's not everywhere. So stop blaming him for everything. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He's not omniscient. He can't get in and make you do anything. He does no candle to God Almighty himself. Then he continues on. He says, for you have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He knew about you before your mother even knew about you, before your mother's mother even knew about you. He knew about you before you were even an egg implanted in your mother's womb. Before she was even in place, just goes back generation after generation. He knew all about you, even when you didn't even exist. Before the foundations of the world, God knows about you. And he was not up in heaven mixing chemicals together and saying, oops, look what I made. You are not an accident. There has never been a child that's been conceived that was ever an accident and God didn't even know about it. He already knew. Every life is precious to God. Even before the moment of conception, every life is precious. Whew. And then it says this, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in the countenance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And I love the exclamation point after that. How great is his thoughts of me. God thinks about you. I was driving down the road this week, and a song came up. And a pretty inappropriate song as I was going through. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, when I was 12 years old, this little girl was thinking of me and she dedicated that song to me. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, At 12 years old, I thought that was cool because she was thinking of me. It was always wonderful when... Now, how many of you remember the days of transistor radios where you were sitting there by the radio and hoping somebody would dedicate a song to you? How many of you remember those days? You remember those days? Come on now. Sitting there listening, and this one's going out to so-and-so from so-and-so, and they say they love you. Oh, my goodness. And you had your cassette tape recorder ready to tape that song so you could listen to it later on. I know, I'm dating myself, I know. Kids, there was a time when there was no such thing as CDs. There was no such thing as MP3s. Isn't it amazing that vinyl is making a comeback now? There was a time when you actually had to sit there and listen to the radio to wait for the song that you liked to come across. But when you would sit there and I would listen to the radio and they would make that dedication, they're thinking of me. Oh, I got so lightheaded. Because they were thinking of me. I know some of you are so old you don't remember all that. But I do. And then they would send you the love notes that slipped it to you in class. Hey, pass this to so-and-so. Remember receiving those things in class? Oh, come on. And you sit there and read it and smell the perfume and you're thinking, oh, they're thinking of me. You couldn't focus on anything else. Brothers and sisters, God is thinking of you every moment of every day. And what does he think of you? Whew. Did you have a rough week this week? Did you get yourself involved in some things you shouldn't have got involved in? Did you participate or think or do some things that maybe... What does God think of you? You know what he thinks of you? I love you, my child. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't have his finger of hate pointed at you. I hate you! You know what he's got? His arms open wide and said, my child, you're mine. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, God's not got an anger. He's got an arms wide open loving you. That's what he thinks of you. Better than check yes or no. It's, I love you, my child. So how should that make us react? How should that make us then deal? That ought to create inside of us a need to have a divine examination. And that's where I want us to get to. Quickly, that's just introduction. We got 2 more hours. You say, Brother Brian, I have 2 more hours. You can stay here. I'm leaving. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Look at number one. The first part of the divine examination. Look at the first part. Help me out. There we go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Are you willing to ask God to do that? Are you willing to literally ask God to search you? Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your siblings, you. What does it mean to search? It means to literally open up completely and allow unfettered access to everything. When they do a search warrant into your home or your business or whatever that might be, they go in and they microscopically search for anything. It'd be foolish to go to the doctor and you've got something on your chest that's been hurting you and bothering you. You go into the doctor's office and say, I want you to examine me, doctor, but don't look here. Not here. You can look anywhere else, but leave this alone. How many of you agree? That'd be foolish. Or you go to the dentist and you've got a big old sore on your tooth or on your gum right there and it's leaking something, and you go with the dentist and you say, look at my face and my tooth, but don't touch there. That'd be foolish. Brothers and sisters, can you seriously pray, search me, O God, and know my heart? Or does that scare you? May I tell you, he already knows. He doesn't need your permission. But see, it's not always negative. He searches us and he sees our anguish. He sees our joy. He sees the good in us. Whew. Why is it we're always so negative about ourselves? Why can't it be, God, search me and find something good in me? How many of you want to be known as a good person? Yeah. But you know what? There's nothing good in me that's not put in there by the Lord Jesus Christ. When God searches me, you know what he sees? It's just us here, right? Nobody else here. You know what he sees? The blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. So what does it mean to search me, O God, and know my heart? God, look inside of me. You see the blood. But God, look inside of me and help me to deal with what I see. I cut myself shaving this week. Like you didn't notice. Last couple days, I've had this big old scab right here. I looked in the mirror, and I thought, oh, no big deal. But I could see people when I talked to them looking at it. I'd be foolish to look in that mirror and say, that ain't there. My wife didn't even say nothing about it, but I know she saw it. She was kind and didn't say anything. You know what? I want God to search me. And I want him to find good in me too. I don't want to just be all negative. My child, I see you. Do you want God to search you this morning? Number two, try me and know my thoughts. The word try is the same connotation that we get from when we take metals, precious metals, and they light them on fire and they get them hot so that all the garbage comes to the top, the dross. And then they sweep the dross off and they heat it back up again. They try the metals. And why do they do that? To get it as pure as they can. God wants you to be pure. Boys and girls, teenagers, moms and dads, he wants you to be pure. I like watching Pawn Stars. And sometimes they try to come by and sneak something and sell it to the people there that's not true and it's not pure. But they've gotten fooled sometimes. But it's funny, they always take a coin or whatever and they weigh it. And then they take a little bit of gold and they scratch it to make sure, because they want to make sure that what they're getting is really what's presented. What I want God to do? I want him to examine me to the point that what you see is who I really am. And I do my best to present to you who I really am. I want to be transparent. God knows. I tell people, what you see is what you get. Whether you like it or not. I mean, that's just what you get. I'm who I am. But he says, God, I want you to also know my thoughts. You know what I've been thinking lately? This is just me. I've been thinking what a failure I am. The devil tries to knock me down all the time. You're a failure as a husband. You're a failure as a father. You're a failure as a pastor. And on and on and on. And I think about that a lot. I blame myself for a lot of things that take place. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I know none of y'all think that way. It's just me. You know what else I think about sometimes? I think about what the future holds. What the laws are being passed and what they're going to do to us and my children and, heaven forbid, grandchildren one day. I think about those things. I think about the pain and anguish that some of you are dealing with. Things that you're having to fight day and night. I think about how I could do better. I'm constantly thinking. You know what God says? I'm not only going to try you and make you more pure, but I know your thoughts and I still love you. God doesn't say, I hate you. He says, I love you, but I want my thoughts to be more pure every day. I want that dross scraped off. I want my thoughts to bring him glory. I'm tired of losing that battle in my thought life. How many of you want to win the battle of your thought life? You know how you start? God, try me. And know my thoughts. Clean me up. Clean me up. Look at the next one. See if there be any wicked way in me. Well, Brother Brian, you wait a minute. You're saying that all God sees is the blood. That's true. But you know what? There's also wickedness in us. Wait a minute. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, but there's wickedness in you? The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 7. He says, I don't do what I want to do. And there's times that I do what I don't want to do. The two spirits, the flesh and the spirit, are fighting constantly. Even a saved person, a man who God used to write 2/3 of the New Testament, still battled that. God, is there a wickedness in me? God, is there something that should not be there? God, if it is, show it to me, because I want to get it out. If my friend would have just gone to the doctor when he first started hurting, the doctor could have found that prostate cancer and dealt with it. It might have been painful and uncomfortable. If any of you have had that test that takes place after you're 50 years old, you know what I'm talking about. It is a pain. But when they go in and get rid of those polyps and they go in and get rid of all those things that shouldn't be there, wow! He didn't do it. And now, the wicked way is destroying him. Would you take some time to ask God to see if there's any wicked way so that you would be what he wants you to be? See, the Apostle Paul also writes, and he says, God is still working and he's not done yet. He's chiseling on us. Why? Why is God doing that? Why didn't God just go and take us to heaven when we get saved? Pew! Wouldn't that be wonderful? No. Because how in the world would we tell anybody else? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what that word's called? It's a big fancy word. It's called sanctification. I'm sanctified. He ain't done. And he ain't done with you. When he's done with me, I'm going home. But until then, he's still working. See if there's any wicked way in me. Please, God. Because I want to be your Himalayan salt lamp. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know what I'm talking about. Number four. Lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. God, I want you to lead me in the way I ought to go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. God, I want you to lead me. How many of you love GPS? Oh, come on. Some people don't know how to read a map anymore because of GPS. A couple months ago, my wife said, Brian, I want you to get me a map. A Rand McNally Atlas. I searched and I searched and I found one. You can look at that thing and you can find the road maps and the roads go here and there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, GPS does the same. You know what I found out? GPS leads me places I don't want to go. Whew. We were going to Williamsburg, Virginia one time from Kingsport. There's a direct way to get there, but the GPS, I don't know what happened. We put something in there wrong. It led me to downtown Richmond. Not a good place to be. Now, why in the world did it lead you to Richmond? I don't know. But if I had taken that map and looked at it, my GPS would have helped me. Brothers and sisters, do you want the Lord to lead you in the way everlasting? The great thing is that God offers that, but it's up to you to take it. The book of Romans chapter 1 also tells us that he gives us a choice. But what happens is that people choose to let their reprobate mind lead them. I'm tired of a reprobate mind leading me. I want a surrendered mind leading me. I love that picture. We know it represents Jesus, but that little child, I want that child to be me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I'm tired of getting lost. I'm tired of getting the briars and the brambles where the rabbits couldn't go. I want to be on the path God wants me to be. How about you? How about you? That's God getting your attention. That's your alarm going off. Everybody check your clicker. Isn't it amazing Satan always does that? He always does that. Satan's trying to break into somebody's car. Brothers and sisters, ask God to lead you in the way everlasting. Let's stand together.
Terry, go back to number one for me, Terry, would you please? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Can you pray that with me this morning? Number two, try me and know my thoughts. Number three, see if there be any wicked way in me. And then number four, lead me in the way everlasting. Simple prayer. But pray it for your sake and His. Heavenly Father, we know You and You know us. God, our desperate need is to be led by You. Please, Father, search us. Examine us. Try us. God, without You, we are failures, but with You, we are more than conquerors. We desperately need You, Heavenly Father. I'm asking You, God, right now, that You would draw us to You, that You would examine us even deeper than a physician or a dentist or an eye appointment can do. May we open our hearts up to You at this very moment, our spiritual hearts. We desperately need You. Examine us. You know the good and the bad already. Clean out the dross. Father, we feel like failures sometimes. Encourage us in You today. Some of the people are ready to give up. Either listening via the internet or sitting in here right now, they've done. They're finished. Maybe their marriage, whatever it is. God, may You please lead them in the way everlasting. We're not failures, God, because You love us. And I'm glad You're like the father in the prodigal son story. You're calling us home to You. You're waiting. May we come running to You. Forgive us, restore us, and lead us in the way everlasting today. It's hard, it hurts, but it's worth it. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I invite you to come. I'll pray with you if you need. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you want to make an altar where you are, but talk to God. Talk to God as Miss Shirley plays this morning. Let Him speak to you. Let Him speak to you this morning.